We're going to just read one verse there at this time. This day, and what was accomplished this day nearly 2,000 years ago, is what makes Christianity different from all religions. No religion will save anybody, never has saved anybody, cannot save anybody. It's a man that saved anybody, the man Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. He is the only hope for any of us. So, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ sets Christianity apart from all other religions. We have a living Savior. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus made that statement before it ever took place. In fact, you can go back in the Bible 4,000 years and this was predicted. The Bible is a book with much prophecy in it. Prophecy speaks about things that's going to happen before they happen. God knows the future. He knows everything. And he's told us in his word. So Jesus explains to his disciples, and we're going to be talking about that today. May we pray. Loving God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for salvation that's free to mankind, but it cost God the death of his only begotten Son upon a cruel cross at the hands of wicked and evil men. And yet, Lord, when we look into our own hearts, we too are wicked and evil. And our heart is deceitful. Help us to realize we need to confess, repent, and trust Christ, not only for salvation, but for daily cleansing, that we might live a life that pleases the living God. Thank you for these beautiful people you've sent this way today. Lord, everyone needs you. There's not an exception. You're the one that gives us our breath to breathe. Help us to understand our days are numbered. We don't know the number, but you do. So may we use these days you do give us to exalt your name for your honor and glory. Help me to preach, Lord. I'm just so helpless. Lord, you call me to do this, and I just need you, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The passage of Scripture that I just shared with you from Matthew was the first time Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die in this cruel manner. Now, he's going to tell them a number of times, but this was the first time. He tried to convince them that he was their Messiah for 3 years. The Jewish people had been looking for a Messiah. And now he's trying to convince these 12 men that he was their Messiah, that they'd look for as a nation. With the confession of Peter that they were convinced, Jesus began to prepare their minds for the awful events before them. Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ." And so Jesus, from that point on, began to prepare their minds for what was about to take place. If he had told them when he first called them, they would never have followed him. Why? Because the Jews were looking for a Messiah that would come in power and glory and deliver them from the Roman dominion that they were under and had been under for years. So they were looking for a Messiah that would come with great power and deliver them. They were not looking for a Messiah that was going to come and suffer and die like we saw played out this morning in our program. No, they looked for a mighty Messiah to come. In Luke 9:21, the Bible says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and the third day be raised up." Jesus was going to die as the Son of Man. He had His death always before Him as He lived each day. Think about it. What if you were on death row? But you knew you were going to be crucified in just a few hours. Jesus always had that before Him because He came to die. He came to die. You're in this world and you hope to live, right? You hope to live, but Jesus came to die. He came to die not only knowing it, but with His heart fully devoted to accomplishing the will of God. He was determined to do what God wanted. He always prayed and He always spoke about in the Bible, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was fully surrendered and committed to do what God wanted, not what he wanted as such, as a man. Folks, that's something we need to learn. If we can ever learn that, it's not my will, but thy will be done. That's the prayer He taught us to learn to pray. Not my will. In Luke's gospel, His death is simply viewed as rejection from men. Think about God so loved the world. So loved. His love was so great for every person. And yet, the people He loved rejected Him. And people are still doing it today. Are you rejecting Christ as your Savior? Have you come to realize you need Him to forgive you and save you? That you can one day leave this old sin-cursed world that's full of heartaches and trouble and go to a land that's called paradise where there'll never be another sorrow. Oh, the blessings of going to heaven one day. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, the Bible says, and Jesus went before them. Listen to this. And they were amazed as they followed, and they were afraid. And He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death." This is the religious people, folks. This is the religious leaders. He said, "They shall condemn Him to death, and then shall deliver Him to the Gentiles." Or we know it today, it was the Romans who are Gentiles, as so as we are Gentiles. "And they shall mock Him and scourge Him, and shall spit upon Him, and shall kill Him, and the third day He shall rise again." That's what He's told the disciples in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. In this passage we just shared with you a scripture, Jesus tells His disciples of seven things that are about to happen to Him. Seven different things. If Jesus had not been crucified, it would have proved that man was not altogether so evil as God has said. But man is profoundly wicked. Look at your headlines in the paper or the news. Listen how man treats man. And sometimes it's the most unsuspecting person that suddenly goes berserk, taking innocent lives. And if you look in your own heart and you're honest, you might tremble at what you see. If you're honest. So, man is evil, wicked, sinful, but so loved by God, God went to what and did what he did. Even though we're that wicked, evil, sinful people, we're so loved by our Creator that he, God Almighty himself, was who Jesus Christ was. He took on a body to pay our debt because we couldn't pay it. It would take God to pay that debt. Now, I want to talk to you about these things that Jesus spoke about here, these seven things. Now, Jesus told these things before they happened, and they really happened. In fact, you can go back in the Old Testament, and we will briefly, and see how they were foretold sometime 1,000 years earlier. Now, the prophecy of betrayal, Jesus told them here. He said he was going to, the Son of Man would be delivered. We know how Judas betrayed the Son of Man for 30 pieces of silver. It's difficult for us to understand why would one of the disciples betray the Lord. He'd been with him for over 3 years. He saw what a good man he was. He saw the miracles he had performed. He saw the compassion Jesus had for people. Judas saw all that. He experienced all of that. Probably he performed miracles too by the power Jesus gave him when he sent the disciples out. Yet that's exactly what took place. David had said 1,000 years earlier, listen to this, in Psalm 41:9, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, did eat of my bread and lifted up his heel against me." That's a prophetic scripture that's pointing forward to Judas Iscariot that would betray the Lord. Now, I'm sure some of you probably have had a friend that something happened and they turned against you. And that hurts, don't it? If you ever had it, it hurts deeply. And that's sad. But listen, none of us are perfect, are we? But Jesus was perfect. He never offended Judas. He never mistreated Judas. And yet Judas betrayed him. Have you ever had a friend to turn on you? It happens to most of us. It's a bitter experience, but we have our own faults and shortcomings, but Christ didn't have any. It is in the heart of sinful man, folks, to rebel against his Creator. We just want to blame God sometime for the bad things in life too, don't we? The second thing that Jesus spoke about in that verse, or those verses, was this. The prophecy of condemnation. He would be condemned. We see he said he'd be betrayed. He said he'd be condemned. Think of the innocent one being condemned by the wicked and evil men. Think of this, folks. I was watching The Passion of the Christ yesterday. It was on TV. I saw the tail end of it. Oh, how wicked man is. how they were treating Jesus. And in real life, they really did treat him so brutal, cruelly. You think man is not a wicked creature? Just turn on your television and watch some of the prison programs like Lock Up. And look at those men and women that's in those some of those prisons. Folks, those people, there's no way to describe how wicked they are, how hard their heart is. They can't be told anything because they won't listen. They won't listen. Yet the graveyards are full of such people. And they die that way. Just die and go to hell. Ain't that sad? That's what sin does to the human heart. Sin made their hearts like that. Rebelling. Refusing to repent. Yeah, that's what does it. It's sin. Satan deceives them out of their soul. Is somebody here today being deceived out of your soul? You may die. You will die. But you're going to leave that body you're in, the real you. Your body's just a shell, a tent, a house. You're going to leave it one day. And you're going to go either to be with the Lord or you're going to go to a place unspeakable, horrible. And then it's going to get worse later on. Yes, Jesus was the innocent one. And John 1:11, this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. That should break our hearts. Jesus come to his own, and his own received him not. What a sad commentary against the Son of Man. In Matthew 26, beginning in verse 59, now the chief priests, elders, and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. False witnesses, folks. Did you get that? But found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. They couldn't find anybody that was false that they thought could really pull it over. At last came two false witnesses, and they had their act together, and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. They didn't know he was talking about his body. He was going to die and be raised in 3 days. They didn't understand that because they didn't have spiritual discernment. They were blind. And this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto them, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, boy, here's what got them, folks. This is what got them. They couldn't hold listen. Hereafter, Jesus said, shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven? Boy, now that just knocked them cold. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he's guilty of death. Jesus was saying, I'm God. And they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. Folks, if you don't believe Jesus Christ is God Almighty, you won't walk into heaven. I'll just tell it to you plain. If Jesus is not God Almighty, you and you believe it as your Savior, you won't make it to heaven. He's not just a good man, not just a good teacher. He's God. Today in our court system, we have lawyers and prosecutors who are just as desperate to get a guilty verdict against some people charged with a crime. They don't care whether they're guilty or not. Some of them. Quite a few people have been in prison because of this. But here we have a complete innocent man. He never said an unkind word. One who had never even had a bad thought. You ever had a bad thought? Huh? Jesus never had a bad thought. That's the reason he could be the sacrifice for our sin, a holy sacrifice. So we have a completely innocent man who had never had a bad thought. He was being plotted against because he was too popular with the people, and he claimed to be the Son of God. Sometimes in life, the bad or the evil overcomes the good, folks. Sometimes people are mistreated. But I want to tell you, one day there's going to be a settlement. There's going to be a judgment day. And every person will stand before their Maker to be examined. Some at the judgment seat of Christ, others at the great white throne judgment. Your choice depends on what you do with Jesus. Let's look at the third thing Jesus said would happen before it happened. The prophecy of delivery to the Gentiles, Matthew 27:1-2. When the morning was come, all the chief priests, elders of the people, took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Rome had rule and dominion over Israel at this time, in the province of Jerusalem, and it was governed by Pilate, a pleasure-loving, imperious, and corrupt man. Pilate was a booger. Wicked, selfish, greedy, corrupt man. He hated the Jews that he ruled over. And at times he even shed some of their innocent blood, because he hated the Jews. And they returned his hatred and accused him of every crime, cruelty, and robbery that they could. Pilate visited Jerusalem as seldom as possible, for he was accustomed to the pleasures of Rome with its theaters, baths, games, and gay society. And Jerusalem was a place with all this religiousness and the ever threat of revolt against Rome was there. So when he did visit in Jerusalem, he usually stayed at Herod the Great's palace. And after his trial before the Sanhedrin, Jesus was brought to Pilate, who had come up to Jerusalem to preserve order during the Passover when so many people would be there. So we have the Son of God falsely condemned, being brought now to Pilate. The Sanhedrin court had come up with this charge. He's guilty of blasphemy. We want him dead. So they bring him to Pilate because the Jews were not allowed to put anybody to death. Only Rome could put someone to death. The Jewish religious wanted nothing less than death for Jesus. He was so hated. Jesus had stole their attention of the people, and he had claimed to be God. They could not handle that. Then the fourth thing was the prophecy to be mocked. Jesus said he would be mocked. In Matthew 26, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. You know, they bow down before me in mockery, but one day they really will bow in acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, folks. He's the Lord of glory. Men are brave and proud and boastful when they have got someone in chains. They are helpless to defend themselves or refuse to defend themselves, as the case with Jesus. Wonder how, folks, these brave, proud, boastful, mighty Roman soldiers will feel the day they stand before the judge, who is Jesus. When all their evil deeds are revealed, when they stand at the judgment, and they are judged for their wickedness and evil. Yes, men may cuss, slur, and hate the Son of God today, but one day the tables are going to be turned, folks. And they will find themselves being flung into the lake of fire. And God doesn't want that. The Bible says in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus told his disciples this would happen to him. Isaiah also said he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. This was 700 years before Christ ever came. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he's bore our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isn't that amazing how 700 years before it took place, God had told the nation of Israel and us today, this is going to take place, and it took place. If God says there's a heaven you can go to, there's a heaven. Even though we haven't seen it, it's there. And if there is a hell that you can go to, you can believe it's there. Better not go there. You can't get out. Then there's the prophecy of scourging Jesus told him about. "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge," Matthew 20:19. Jesus was stripped naked, fastened to a pillar. Then he was severely whipped. And this Pilate did, hoping the Jews would be satisfied. Pilate knew Jesus was not guilty of any crime. But to pacify or to satisfy the Jewish people, he consented to just having Jesus whipped, and he was going to let him go. By the way, he was having an innocent man whipped. That was bad in itself. Well, that was a horrible beating when it was administered. Many have died under such severe punishment that a whipping like that brought to the victims. Many have died, never survived it to make it to the cross. The skin is peeled from the bones and the muscles of the back and the sides. This was a punishment inflicted by the Romans upon those who committed certain crimes who were not Romans. Romans weren't treated this way. The person was stripped and beaten with a whip or a rod. From about 300 B.C., Roman citizens were exempt from scourging. And Paul one time used that to keep from being whipped that way himself. The Lord was subject to the pain and indignity of scourging, John 19:1 tells us. "That by his stripes we might be healed," says both Isaiah and Peter in 1 Peter 2:24. Then there's the prophecy of his crucifixion. David said in Psalms, David said this 1,000 years before it took place. And if you read Psalms 22 in your Bible, you'll see a person crucified in Psalm 22. That was before crucifixion was ever being used. it was recorded that it would happen, and it would happen to the Messiah. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two others with him, and on either side, Jesus in the midst. John 19, 17, 18. The most painful, the most degrading capital punishment reserved for the worst crimes and for the lowest class of people, folks. The Roman used a short beam fastened to a long upright one on which was placed a piece of wood for the feet to rest on. Nails were driven through his hands and his feet. The torture was dreadful and the thirst was great. And in some cases, a person hanging on the cross would hang there for 3 days before they would ever die in excruciating pain. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and of the two malefactors are the only cases named in Scripture. Crucifixion was not practiced by the Jews. They always stoned people. The condemned one carried his own cross to the place where he'd be executed. Jesus Christ was taken outside the city of Jerusalem up to a place called Calvary. And hanging on the cross, about 9 o'clock, he was placed there. And from 9 to 12, he suffered. He was mocked, belittled. But at 12 o'clock, the sky turned black. And God judged his son from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. That's when Christ, the sin of the world, was placed upon him. My sin, your sin, all men's sin, all sin was placed upon him. And God dealt with our sin then, and he'll never deal with it again. It's done. He has paid for our sin. At 3 o'clock, that's when the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, was offered in the temple by the Jews. It was always killed at 3 o'clock. That's when Jesus died. He was God's pet lamb, the one of prophecy that would come and take away the sin of the world. And so, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he said, "It's finished." And he died of a broken heart. He died loving all of us so much. He was willing to die. But you know what? When he was hanging on that cross, and we heard a song about that today, he knew about every one of us. And he knew by hanging on that cross who would accept him and who would not. And he hung there because he loved you that much. And if you reject him, you can't blame him. He's paid your debt. And it's free. But turn him from sin and asking him to be your Savior. The Bible says, a stupefying drink was given to prisoners, but the Lord refused it. He would drink the bitter cup to the end. In Galatians 3:13, the Bible says, "Curses is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Jesus hung there as the cursed one for me, for you. Thus the blessed Lord in saving rebellious man goes down to the very lowest form of death, crucifixion. Shame, pain, but because he loves us. Then lastly, there's the prophecy of the resurrection. He prophesied, "I will arise. On the third day, I will arise." He predicted that. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Well, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. I like that phrase in that verse. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. Matthew 28:1-7. Jesus said he would rise again. May I insert this morning? Listen to me carefully. He said he'd rise again. Let me tell you something else he said. He said, I'm coming back again too. I'm coming back, and I'm going to get everyone that trusts me. Have you trusted him? You sure you're trusting him? In the beginning, Jesus, the incarnate God, made the universe out of nothing. In Psalm 16:10, the Bible says that about Jesus, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus did not stay in the grave. That's what it means. The word hell there should be translated grave. Because Jesus never went to hell. Jesus suffered hell on the cross. He was judged for our sin on the cross. He didn't leave the cross to go be judged anymore. But when Jesus died on the cross, he went down to paradise. Took that thief over there that accepted him. Went down into paradise. And got all the saints that's there. Took them back to heaven. And they're in heaven now. The only one down in Sheol is the wicked, the lost, the unsaved. They're down there in their torments today. But all the saved people, the debt was paid so Jesus could take them out of that place, take them to heaven. When we die today, we go right straight to heaven to be with the Lord. Listen. In the beginning, Jesus, the incarnate God, made the universe and all things out of nothing. Then he gave life to angels, man, and animals. Then he came and, as a man, died on a cross and was buried in a barred tomb. Why would anyone think that he could not escape death? If Jesus can make the world and everything out of nothing, who would think he couldn't get up out of the grave if he can do all that other stuff? Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, if he can do all these other things, why not defeat death by dying? And that's exactly what he did. The wages of sin is death. We've all sinned, God says. And you just be around people a little while and you know they have. Amen. We've all sinned. Wages of sin is death. You've got to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Bible says. This is not a fairy tale I'll share with you today. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a novel either that someone just sat down and wrote. This is not just a dream either. This is the truth of the Word of God. And I believe every word of it. Jesus Christ was crucified and died upon the cross for our sins. But he was raised the third day, and all who believe in him as their own personal Savior will live forever. You want to live forever? Amen? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll live forever in eternal paradise. Those that don't believe, they'll live somewhere. But it'll be miserable, miserable, miserable. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, believe on the Lord. But more than that, serve the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. you won't ever regret it. You won't ever regret it. You got to stand right by yourself before Him one day, either at the judgment seat of Christ, if you've been saved, to see what you've done for Him. What did you do with your life while you were here? If you're not saved, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And then it's going to be determined how awful your punishment will be in the lake of fire. It's your choice. That's what sin has done to the human family. But God's made it possible that you can be forgiven and go to heaven and live forever. All as we stand together. Someone here today need to trust Christ? Please don't anyone leave. Please, we want to have communion in just a minute.